So we begin this Holy Week leading up to the resurrection of Christ we celebrate next Sunday. Today we talk about the cross of Christ. The cross is the only way. How God chose the cross to buy our salvation. My nephew several years ago asked me, why did Jesus have to die for all the sins of the world? Why, you know, God is supreme, God is all-powerful. Why couldn't he have just done it a different way and not caused Christ to go through so much? It's like God had a plan. This has been God's plan all along, is for him to come in our place. So today, as we begin to look at the cross, we begin to understand a little bit more about what it means to us and its significance and its irreplaceable value in our salvation. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 27. John Stott said it this way. He says, if we can begin to see the cross, before we can begin to see the cross as something done for us, we have to see it as something done by us. The Apostle Paul even said it in 1 Corinthians. He said, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Last week, Pastor Brian covered the Passover meal, and we celebrated the Lord's Supper together. From that time, we go through Scripture. Let's kind of do a little background of what's going on now. From the Passover meal, Jesus and his disciples went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. In the garden, Jesus wanted his disciples to pray for him because he knew the crucifixion was coming the next day. But the disciples, after 3.5 years of walking with Christ, never got it. Even though Jesus had told them that he had to die for them, they still did not get that the Messiah that God sent to the world was the Messiah to die on a cross, not to be a military leader. They still thought that Jesus would rise to military dominance and defeat all of Israel's enemies and bring Israel prosperity once again. And they wanted to be a part of that. They did not get the total essence of what God was trying to do. So in that Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told him to pray. And he went off by himself to meet with the Father, to pray. Jesus comes back 3 different times and he finds the disciples sleeping. Oh, today, may we not be a disciple who's asleep. May we not be a disciple who rests when Jesus needs us to be active. Judas, who betrayed Jesus, now comes with a mob of people to arrest Jesus. Through some light altercation, they arrest Jesus and bring him before Pilate. And it's before Pilate where we begin to take up this story, the account for today, where the elders and the chief priests had already planted the seed, poisonous seeds in people's minds about the crucifixion of Jesus. Matthew 27, beginning in verse 20, says, but the chief priest and all the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and have Jesus executed. Which of these two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they asked, answered. What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Verse 23 says, why? What crime has he committed? Said Pilate. But they shouted all the more, crucify him. Let's pray together. Father God, today, I pray that you help us to understand more about the cross. God, so oftentimes we see the cross as something and we just kind of pass over it. We know it's a is symbolic for something in our life we know Christ died on, but God, we really don't understand that we are the cause for Jesus' death on the cross. Father, I pray today, teach us something new, God. Bring into our hearts the understanding of the depth that Jesus went through to show God's love to us and bring us our salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. First thing we need to answer the question this morning is, why the cross? Why crucifixion? Well, we see there is a need for our salvation. There was a need that we had for salvation. We saw to understand the cross, we must comprehend our depraved condition. We must understand who we really are and how deep and ugly sin is. And there's something today as Christians, we oftentimes do not really grasp the ugliness and the depth and depravity that sin really brings into our life. How ugly it is and how destructive it is. We simply kind of wash over it. But sin caused us to be separated from God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they doomed all of humanity to this curse of sin. We're spiritually separated from God. We literally are spiritually dead, as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says. We're spiritually dead. Listen, that's why you can never come to Christ Jesus without the Holy Spirit regenerating you, making you spiritually alive. Why? Because you're spiritually dead. Just because I preach a message doesn't mean that you're going to respond in faith to Jesus Christ. You will not respond to Christ unless the Holy Spirit leads you. Why? Because spiritually dead people can't make spiritually alive decisions. Sin separates us from God. We were lost and without hope, in a depraved condition. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2 says it this way: it's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. See, God's plan is eternal. God is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. He sees everything in a panoramic view. He knows everything that has ever happened or ever will happen. Before he even created the universe, he knew he would create man, and he knew man would sin, and he knew that he needed a plan, and he had a plan already for man's sin before the foundations of the world were ever created. God provided a means to forgive our sin through his grace and mercy, for providing a payment for God for sin that we commit. God gave himself to redeem mankind. First Peter tells us this, chapter 1, he says, For you know that it was not the perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you redeemed you from your empty way of life, handed down to you from your ancestors, but the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. God established his redemptive plan for all of us during his creative providence. In other words, when he spoke it into being, the plan was already set for Jesus Christ to die. God himself was the only one qualified to pay the penalty of sin. God knew that he himself had to come down to save us. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Death has always been linked to sin. When man sinned, it brought death into the world. Not only physical death, but also spiritual death. 2 Corinthians 5 says, For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. God himself had to die for our sins to redeem us back to himself. Yet God is spirit. Do you ever think about that? That God himself had to die. He was the only one who was qualified to pay and redeem us back to himself. He had to die, but he was spirit, and he was immortal. He could not die. So his plan was to merge with humanity. He became man, and we know him as Jesus Christ. Jesus is 100% God, 100% man. Now God, the Son, could fulfill the eternal plan of redemption to die for all the sins of the world. Pardon and forgive our sins. It all waited for us, and it all hinged on Jesus dying on the cross. Today, see the cross, Jesus' death, this instrument of suffering, brutality, and humiliation was the cost of our sins. What Jesus went through on that Good Friday, on that day that he suffered so much, was really meant for me, really meant for you. We cannot even begin to comprehend the brutality of the cross. And the ugliness of sin is so great that that's what it caused. C.J. Mahoney said it this way. Unless you see yourself standing there with a shrieking crowd full of hostility and hatred for the holy and innocent Lamb of God, you don't really understand the nature and depth of your sin or the necessity of the cross. We needed a Savior. He bore a cross and all of its shame for our sins, yours and mine. It was God's plan of salvation.
The King of Heaven. This is not just a righteous man. This is our Creator who spoke the universe into existence. Imagine the power. If you just look at the universe and all the magnificence of God's creation, that he could do all that and then sacrifice himself. Passersby walked by, they insulted him. They said, he saved others, but can he save himself? And if you and I had been standing there, right there, knowing what we do now, you know, the gift of foresight, which of course they didn't have, we know that there was no other way. I mean, it's not possible. There had to be a perfect sacrifice, and Jesus was that sacrifice. Then all we could say was kneel down at the cross and just look up and say, crucify him. I'm sorry, Lord, but there's nothing else. There's no other way. In our grief, because we know it's us that he's up there for. And we put him there. We put him there. That was our penalty to take. Our death. It was supposed to lay on us, our physical, our spiritual death, and they laid it on him. Can you imagine? Imagine the spiritual realm. Okay, I love this verse in 1 Peter 1:12, last part of it. He's talking about prophecy and throughout history and the prophets and all that. And he says, and even angels long to look into these things. That means this is the talk of heaven. That's right. From the start. Can you imagine the angels talking about this and digging into it? Hey, let's go check out the prophecy again. When's the Messiah coming? Is this coming now? Where is he's right, you know, and then of course they see him being born. They praised him at his birth. That's right. Legions, multitudes, it says. All of time, beyond time, has been leading to this point. I mean, it's been building. Those angels are on the tip of their... But this is their king. This is the Lord of heaven. We don't always understand the angels in the spiritual realm, but I can imagine... If their Lord was up on that cross and people insulting him, can you imagine? They're just weapons drawn, ready to go. That's right. We'll clean this place out.
That's right.
We'll bring our king back. We'll show you his glory. I can imagine. I don't really know about them, but I can't see how they could not be angry. From a human standpoint, anyways, I don't understand. But God. See, those are some great words, aren't they? But God. I mean, that just sort of transitions everything. But God in his infinite wisdom. Isaiah 53:10 of the King James says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." It pleased the Lord. "He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering to sin." It pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord to give his son for us. You know? For us. And we don't understand that. Even as a father. And I look at my kids and I think of what would I do for them? What wouldn't I do for them? And God looks at us that way and way beyond that. We can't comprehend that love. It's eternal. I don't remember the verse exactly, but it says, at the end there will be faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. For God was love in the beginning, and God is love in the end. That's the entire theme of the Bible. It's a great big love story. Now the two thieves, they insulted him too. But Luke 23, verses 39 to 43 tells us a different story of the two thieves. As one of them was insulting Jesus, saying, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." The other criminal rebuked him, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, and so would we if we had been there. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And to prove Jesus' love, he looked over to that man who had just insulted him. And he said, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." That man's faith, at the very last second, pulled him from the depths of hell. And Jesus reached out and snatched his soul. Said, "That's mine." And he never let go. And he doesn't let go of us either. And then in a loud voice, Jesus cried, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But God could not look on Jesus anymore. He couldn't, because as the verse says, God laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He put all of our sins. I just know myself, and I got a lot of booze. You know, it's a mess in there. And I deal with it every day. And God deals with me every day, every moment of every day. So this is just me. And I got this great big pile of sins. And then we got this whole room. And then we got the whole city of Ville Platte. And we got the whole nation. And then we have everybody throughout time and all their sins. And he took it all. And he put that on his son. And he pleased him to do that. But God couldn't look on him. And that moment, Jesus, that went through everything we did to know what it meant to be human, he went through something more. He went through, after living his whole life close to the Father, close to God, For God looked at him and walked with him his whole life, spoke to him, guided him. The Holy Spirit whispering in his ear. He knew separation. And in that moment, he knew, I believe, what every sinner that dies without accepting Jesus is going to deal with for eternity. You deal with your sin, you deal with it on your own. Completely separated from God and burning in hell. And that's when Jesus knew the most grief, I think. And it was love for us. It was grief for us. Grief for our situation. Grief for what we were going to go through. But he had the way. And then Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he died. And at that moment, the veil tore of the temple. The veil of the temple tore from the top down. And the earth shook. And the centurions standing nearby praised God. Said, surely he was the Son of God. Surely he was the Son of God. So now the debt is paid. And John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. They've called Jesus the friend of sinners. What bigger friend you got? He not only died for you, he died for me. He died for people we never met. He died for people long gone. He died for people to come. He died for us all. He died for sinners. When we stand and we look at the cross, from this story right here, we see all the players right there. We see the rebellious thief. Right up to the end. Wasn't giving in at all. And he made his choice. And we see the chief priests and the elders standing out there. And they're looking at him saying, save yourself. They wanted him dead because he came and showed up and told them, hey, your religion's not that anymore. I am the way. Your way is not the way. He told the priests who say, we are the way to God. You come to us. We talk to God. And Jesus said, we don't need you no more. You got me. So they crucified him. The irony of it all is that God's not in the temple. Now, at this point, we have direct access to God. Amen. You are the temple. You're the temple, and you're the temple. This is the temple. And Jesus said he would destroy his own temple and build it in 3 days. And I got a temple right here. And I got the Spirit of God in me. Amen. Because of Jesus' sacrifice. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, it says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. It's very easy. It's a way of lies. It's a way of deception and anger. It's the way we start. And many will enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. And that's a tragedy. But when we're walking that path, that gate's so bright. When you open your eyes and you look and you see that narrow path, the light of the Holy Spirit is in it. When you look at it, God is lighting the way. And Jesus is at the door with his arms stretched wide in a wide embrace. When I embrace my wife, when I embrace my kids, I open my arms and I embrace them. And they open their arms and they embrace me. When Jesus died like this, and he's still there. He's still there. His arms are wide and he's calling you, right? This is the way. He's standing there at the narrow gate. So that's the opportunity we have. The opportunity of salvation. There was a need. There was a cost. And the cost was high. But Jesus was willing. And he paid it. Willingly. With love. And we benefit from it. And now we have that light inside of us when we accept Jesus as our Savior. When we acknowledge that he is Lord. And that he is the way. So my next question is, Christian, what do you do with that light? I used to sing songs when I was a child about hiding that light under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. The only reason we're still here is to be that light. Amen. Jesus chose us. And he said, I'm going to put that in you. I'm going to give you the comforter. And that comforter is going to guide you everywhere you go. He's got you. He's going to show you the way. And I need you to take that light throughout the world. The first thing you need is the gift of salvation. After that, you give that gift. You show that gift. That's what we're here for. As Christians.
So it's very simple. The way of the cross is God's plan. He created that for us as the only opportunity for salvation. Ed went through and just kind of explained some of the things that's going on and what happened to Christ. Knowing that that is the only way to salvation, the question comes down to us. Do we know Christ as Savior? Have we entered the narrow gate and allow him to be our Lord and Savior? Maybe you're here this morning, you've never asked Christ to be your Savior. You've heard the Easter story. You heard about the crucifixion. You know about the resurrection. See, there's something different about having head knowledge and heart knowledge. A lot of people will miss heaven by 18 inches, the difference between their head and their heart. They have knowledge, but they have no faith. Do you today have knowledge and faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to just join you where you are. Lord, we thank you that you went through so much suffering for our sin. God, we can't even begin to imagine the brutality you faced that day. And God, as Ed said, I could just imagine the angels angry and ready to rescue your son from the cross. Because only you knew full well your full plan. Father, today, may we in simple faith trust you as Savior. May we as Christians be a shining light, pointing others to Jesus Christ, who loves them beyond all measure. Thank you today, God, for your great sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with us.